Welcome to my contribution this time for Main Menu. I'm Brian Hartgen, and a belated Happy New Year to all of you. Mailing lists in the United Kingdom particularly are crowded with questions at the moment about the new range of products from Dolphin Computer Access, who provide access technology products for blind and low vision users. Having recently purchased a copy of HAL for Windows version 5, I produced a full in-depth evaluation of it for my InfoTech magazine for January. The article, which has already received quite a bit of reaction from visually impaired people, is in excess of 2 hours in length and covers how the screen reader interacts with commonly used applications, for which configuration files have been written, and also how it performs with applications right out of the box. If you would like to hear the whole review and the other items in the January edition, you can purchase a single issue or a year's subscription to InfoTech, whichever you prefer. You can write to me about that. The email address is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at Hartgen, H-A-R-T-G-E-N, .org, that's O-R-G, or visit the website for in-depth information at www.hartgen, spelt as before, .org. I'm going to share part of the review with you now. Because many listeners to Main Menu are living in the United States, where Dolphin products do not necessarily have such a high profile as in the UK, I'm going to include the explanatory introduction first, describing the Dolphin range of products. Then, you'll hear how the screen reader interacts with one application, that being Internet Explorer, because it is access to this application which forms a major part of the marketing strategy encouraging people to purchase the product. In mid-December, Dolphin Computer Access released version 5 of its product suite, comprising HAL, Luna, Luna Plus and Supernova. This isn't just an upgrade, though. This is almost a complete rewrite of the code, used to convert all aspects of the Windows operating system into a format suitable for visually impaired people. For anyone who may be thinking about upgrading, don't let that fact worry you. Although there are some significant changes, users of previous Dolphin product releases will be familiar with much of the look and feel of version 5. I'll be relatively polite and say that some initial users of the demo copy of version 5 are going into panic mode at the moment, being concerned about upgrading because of the emphasis which has been placed upon these changes. However, on the face of it, they make things a lot easier for users. To my knowledge, no one has ever produced an audio presentation focusing upon Dolphin products. So as well as describing all the new features available in version 5, I'm going to run through some of the basics which existing users will already be familiar with, so as to give you a good idea to what it is that ensures that Dolphin products are still very much at the top of the access technology tree. Before I expand on that point, it's important to clarify what the Dolphin product range consists of. First, there is Luna. This is Dolphin's screen magnification software. Luna Plus provides magnification with some basic speech prompts, but it is not by any means a fully-fledged screen reader. HAL, probably Dolphin's most famous product, is a full screen reading package consisting of screen reader support through speech and braille output, if you have a braille display. Supernova combines all the characteristics of HAL with those of Luna. In other words, you have magnification, speech and braille, a total access solution. I suspect it is Supernova which helps to sell Dolphin products here in the UK. Supernova can be used for people who, for various reasons, like to use the vision they have to look at icons, images and text on the screen, but maybe cannot sustain viewing the contents of a screen for a lengthy period of time. There does become a point when constantly enlarging text on the screen, for example, becomes counterproductive, since, with substantially increased magnification, you would only be able to fit one or two words on a line. When this happens, the user can simply listen to some speech to read a lot of text at a rapid rate, ideal for study and leisure reading. Supernova is also an ideal tool for schools, colleges, rehabilitation centres and libraries. Because of the numbers of visually impaired people who visit the respective premises, with a range of eye conditions, this product can attempt to be all things to all people. It's great for those who need exclusive access to magnification, as the speech can be turned off, or for those who need both, or speech only. This is a great selling point for organisations. The speech, braille and magnification are truly integrated. There are no key conflicts, and the fact that it is just one product to install onto a computer makes the whole process very easy, even for those who are not necessarily educated in the field of access technology. Dolphin products do not seem to have a very high profile in the US. There may be several reasons for this, but version 5 of Supernova, if the advantages are advocated in the right way, could do well. For the purposes of this article, I shall be primarily talking about the features of HAL and Supernova. Where I use the term HAL, I am of course referring to both products. For information about Luna and Luna Plus, please contact Dolphin direct. The entire product range has been updated, however. My overall impressions, though, which I'll clarify as we go, are that this is a satisfactory improvement upon earlier versions of the products. If you are a user of even the previous release of HAL, and that was version 4.5, and you start using version 5 without ever having seen what can be offered by other screen readers, this is like comparing night with day. A lot has been achieved by Dolphin in the new release, especially in the area of web page support. However, there are what I would call some serious flaws in the product, which have not been corrected from earlier versions. One of these is the considerable amount of speech babble which occurs when you use HAL in many situations. Far from being intuitive, application-specific help is not easily accessible. There is no verbosity control, so unless you have the software and the knowledge to configure HAL, you have to live with some of the verbose announcements which are often given. The web page support is much better than previously offered, but there's certainly room for improvement. On the plus side, HAL is still the most stable screen reader I know of, and this stability has been transferred to and is consistent within version 5. In addition, HAL could be an extremely versatile product with stacks of potential achieved through the creation of map files. What I've tried to do in this item is to present how I perceive version 5 of HAL to be at the moment, as fairly as I can. It will be fair because all the staff at Dolphin are extremely nice, and we wish them the very best of luck with the launch of the products. It's also quite hard for anyone who has worked a lot with a product for a long while, only to have someone come along and criticise it. Having said that, version 5 is now in the public domain, so I think I'm entitled to give you a balanced picture of what it can and cannot do. I'm inviting Dolphin staff to listen to this presentation in the hope that they will be receptive to my comments and use them as something to build on for a future release, perhaps. And to ensure I've got the balance of views just right, I've carefully read the comments coming out of the Dolphin mailing list from new users of HAL 5, to see what the word is out on the street. HAL and Supernova are available in two flavours. An advantage of Dolphin products is that they will function with every Windows operating system, 95, 98, NT, ME, 2000 and XP, all with the same degree of effective stability. I'm now going to give you the prices for the various versions of HAL and Supernova, and what I've attempted to do is to provide some equivalents in US dollars as well, so that overseas listeners can get this in context. So, the price for the standard version of HAL is £495. That's $750. If you're registered blind, that's £395. If you want to upgrade from a previous version of HAL, that's £100, or $150. This is a unique policy, because the upgrades are not incremental, like those offered by other manufacturers. For example, you can upgrade from version 3 of HAL to version 5 for £100. HAL Professional is £795, that's $1,200. If you're registered blind, there's no discount on that. if you're upgrading from a previous version of HAL to HAL 5 Professional, that is £430 or $650. If you're upgrading from HAL 5 Standard to HAL 5 Pro, that's £300, $450. Having said that, there appears to be a grey area surrounding this price, because on main menu, available from acbradio.org, Steve Bennett from Dolphin made it clear that there would be an upgrade cost of about £230 during the first 3 months of release if you wanted to upgrade from Standard to Pro, although this is not confirmed on the website. Supernova Standard is priced at £695, that's $1,042. If you're registered blind, that goes down to £595. If you want to upgrade from a previous version of Supernova, that's £140. Supernova Professional is priced at £995, that's $1,500. If you're registered blind, there's no discount. If you want to trade in your existing screen reader from another manufacturer and get a copy of HAL or Supernova, whichever version, you can obtain a 35% discount on that. HAL and Supernova are shipped with the standard Microsoft text-speech engine synthesizers and also Dolphin's Orpheus. Orpheus has the ability to detect the composition of sentences and pronounce the words correctly. For example, I watched Live and Let Die followed by Live and Kicking. The essential difference between the standard and pro versions of the products are that with the professional edition, you have included the ability to create map files. Maps are special configuration files which allow you to customize a computing application so that it will perform optimally with speech. Many screen readers have similar functionality. The map file creation process allows you to customize HAL to announce prompts when necessary, or change existing prompts, simulate a whole series of mouse clicks, move through multiple screens, execute menu items, to name but a few. Dolphin proudly boasts that no scripting knowledge is required to create the special map files, which can be shared among users of both the Pro and Standard versions. Many applications will work with HAL right out of the box. If you feel, though, that special configuration is needed, you can, in the Pro Edition, enter Training Mode. Training Mode shows you many aspects of the screen which HAL has detected. You can navigate through the list of the objects, and if a part of the application is not being detected correctly, you can tell it what it should be. A good example would be, if you have a control which had been specially designed, but to all intents and purposes the function of it should be that of a tree view, you can tell HAL to treat the item as a tree view. You can track focus or restrict the focus to a specific window or control, read specific parts of the screen, etc. To be honest, I'm in a bit of a quandary concerning the purchase of HAL 5 Pro at the moment. I have HAL 5 Standard, which I'm going to demonstrate. I know quite a bit about the Pro version, however, having read the manual, and I'm about to receive some formal training from Dolphin on map file creation. I'm not sure, though, whether Dolphin made the right decision to limit one's abilities by producing two editions. I like to have a screen reader which allows you to expand your knowledge as and when you're ready to do so. One of the things I've become known for producing are my configuration files for other screen readers. These were initially achieved quite spontaneously when I learned the respective procedures for creating them. With HAL or Supernova, I'm going to have to invest a considerable amount of extra money just for the benefit of optimizing applications for other users. I would much rather the screen reader be slightly more expensive to gain the extra features, rather than have the two versions. I don't accept the minority argument which is being advocated on the Dolphin mailing list, in that most people will not use the map creation feature anyway, and it is confusing for it to be present there. I don't see that as having any foundation at all. I think probably on balance, I will be forced into paying the extra £400, $600, for the Pro version, especially now I'm producing configuration files for companies and organisations. But I resent doing it, since I'm not sure that any screen reader is worth almost £800. I purchased the standard upgrade as any other customer would, and I received it by courier 3 days after ordering. Contrary to Dolphin's previous policy, I didn't have to return my original CD before receiving the new one. When I received the huge box, I was pleasantly surprised. The box included the printed manual, a Braille quick reference guide, principally containing useful HAL keystrokes, the HAL installation CD, and a small, very nice carry case. Inside the case, you find a series of audio CDs, which you can use on any computer with a CD-ROM drive and sound card, or a regular CD player. The majority of CDs contained a reading of the instruction manual. This has been done by Talking Newspaper Enterprises Limited. The first CD contains a full contents listing of everything you can find on the rest of the audio CDs of the manual, including disc and track numbers. So everything is really easy to find, as each section and subsection has its own track on the CD. Dolphin's previous documentation hasn't exactly been well written in the past, and there were often areas of confusion. The manual shipped with versions 1 to 3 of HAL and Supernova wasn't perfect, but it did at least contain a Windows step-by-step guide, and also how to use the various settings of HAL. In version 4, Dolphin opted for an installation guide, relying instead upon the online help for further instruction. This was just totally unsuitable for new users, which is why the excellent HAL Frequently Asked Questions from www.thescreenreader.org.uk was introduced, which aimed to fill the void. This manual is much better, and in some respects mirrors the version 1 to 3 manual, insofar as it contains a guide as to how HAL interacts with Windows, explaining some useful terminology, and there are some useful sections on all the speech and braille settings. The language here, though, is much more detailed, and there are useful configuration tips to get the most out of the product, with popular applications. It is very well written, and it's available in an online text format as well. In my view, though, the HAL FAQ is by no means redundant, a fact which will become clear later. The final two CDs in the case contain a series of 10 short tutorials which aim to get you started installing HAL and customising it, together with using it with some common applications, such as Internet Explorer, Outlook Express, Windows Explorer, but not MS Office components. From a technical perspective, these tutorials were interesting, since I don't think they were recorded, as stated previously, by Talking Newspaper Enterprises Limited. The quality is not quite as good, and there is mechanical noise behind the reader's voice. She's certainly reading the text, rather than physically carrying out the operations being described. The speech synthesizer extracts were recorded separately and interspersed with the reader's script. Each tutorial would just about get you started using the application for which it was intended. I say just about because with the Outlook Express chapter, for instance, you find out how easy it is to send email, but that is as far as it takes you. It doesn't demonstrate how effective HAL may be in browsing the index of incoming messages, or reading a message with document read. These tutorials, however, are bundled free with HAL or Supernova, and as I say, they may get you started using an application that you may not have considered using before. But don't expect anything more than that. Here's an example of the Internet Explorer tutorial.
To help us over the initial hurdle, we have set up a web page to explain some of the basics. The address is http://www.dolphinuk.co.uk/IET. And to get there, we can either go to the address bar and type in the address we seek. Pressing Alt with D moves us there. Alternatively, selecting Open from the File menu provides the same opportunity. This option can also be called up by pressing Ctrl and O. Any of these methods work. Let's enter the web address we want to go to.
Ctrl O, Live Focus Open Window, type the internet address of a document or folder, and Internet Explorer will open it for you. Open, blank line pull down edit area. http://www.dolphinuk.co/iet. Tab open as web folder unselected checkbox. Tab OK button. Enter frame. Welcome to the internet.
And here we are. The page has loaded.
It has indeed. By the way, the poor girl used extra energy where she didn't need to. She didn't need to tab twice to the OK button and then press enter. She could have just pressed enter after entering the web address into the open dialog. Perhaps I could teach her a trick or two. There has been some debate as to whether providing the manual and tutorials on audio CD was the right method of distribution to use. Some people praise the ability to be able to easily locate specific chapters or subsections without having to fast forward or rewind cassettes. It has also been pointed out that CD players are incredibly inexpensive. In some respects, I agree. It is nice to have the manual in this format, although it is marred slightly by the fact that you cannot easily locate the CD you want using tactile methods, such as Braille. If you keep them in the case in the right order, though, finding what you want should present little difficulty. It would just be a matter of putting the first CD into the player, listening to the contents to locate the chapter number you want, with its corresponding CD and track number, then find the CD and locate the track. I have to say, though, that I think a cassette edition should also be made available. Cassette is still a very important medium for blind people. A lot of individuals, for example, still use tape recorders produced by the American Printing House for the Blind, because they have prominent tactile controls and, more importantly, speech compression. This means that you can listen to the playback at a rapid rate, and I can't believe that I'm the only person using this feature. You cannot do this with a CD player, so you have to be content with the reader's natural speaking voice. Furthermore, if you stop a cassette, you can be assured that when you come back to it, it's going to be in the same place where you left off reading. Let's now turn to HAL itself. HAL is very easy to install indeed, which is one of its strengths, taking less than a couple of minutes. Within the custom install, you accept a license agreement, enter your name, choose the name to be displayed in the program's subgroup of the start menu, and you also choose whether you would like HAL to start automatically when Windows starts. The automatic and upgrade install is slightly simpler. You can upgrade from a previous version of HAL, say from 4.5 to 5, and most of your configuration settings should be in place when version 5 is installed. However, don't bank on this happening totally, and you may have to make several adjustments. Don't forget that this is a significant rewrite of the code. If at any time you want to go back to HAL 4.5, you have to uninstall version 5 first, and then install version 4.5. If you do this, all your settings will of course be lost, unfortunately. One of the problems with this particular screen reader is that you can only have one version of the screen reader running on your computer at any one time. The installation process is repeated for SAM, Synthesizer Access Manager, a universal interface developed by Dolphin for communicating between speech synthesizers and Braille devices, the speech synthesizer Orpheus, and the Dolphin Link Navigator. I shall demonstrate this tool later, but it is a utility used and activated from Internet Explorer, allowing you to view a list of links on a web page. As I stated earlier, the code for HAL has been rewritten. It is Dolphin's hope that this code will be developed so that it will become, to quote Steve Bennett, the best screen reader in the world. The way that objects are detected on the screen is just one of the key changes which have been made. One of the primary reasons for change was that users were requesting features which they saw were prominent within competitive products. These requested features Dolphin found difficult to incorporate into the old product range in a timely fashion, and it is hoped that, using the new innovations, upgrades will become more frequent. I'm now going to talk about the access that HAL and Supernova provides in respect of Internet Explorer. Before I do that, what I must do is explain a little bit about some of the modes that are used throughout the new versions of HAL and Supernova. I've already referred to HAL's new virtual focus mode, which is the equivalent to the old navigation mode. Now, some people on some of the mailing lists at the time of recording are saying, Dolphin have dispensed with the navigation mode and it used to be really useful. Well, it is. It's still there. Of course it is. It's just got another name. It's called virtual focus and it's a lot better. It is possible through the creation of a map file to tell HAL when you encounter a certain situation, load virtual focus mode. And this is called auto virtual focus mode. Now, Dolphin have implemented this feature in what I assume is the default map file, so that when HAL encounters, for example, HTML content, and this would be Windows 98 style and above help, for example, then it will automatically go into auto virtual focus mode. And the same applies to web pages, and this is why I'm explaining it, because when a web page loads, HAL or Supernova will automatically switch into auto virtual focus mode. And the idea is that you'll be able to browse the web page a little like you can in a word processor. So you can read it character by character, word by word with the arrow keys, or line by line. Of course you can use document read, that goes without saying. So if you want to hear the whole content of the web page, you can easily do that by pressing numeric keypad plus. What is good is that you're able to exercise quite a bit of control over whether the word link is heard in certain situations, either whether it is heard when you press the tab key, whether it is heard when you arrow down the document, or indeed in document read. Because when you're using document read, for example, you may not want the word link to be heard, because you're actually reading the context of a web page. And if it's an article, then you may not want that to be heard if it's got hyperlinks in the middle of it, because it will ruin the context of it. But on the other hand, you might be a person who wants to know where a link is on every single occasion, in which case you can turn the ability to announce links on in document read. There are all sorts of permutations that you can use, depending upon what suits you best. HAL will advise you as to when it is going into the auto virtual focus mode. And the other mode that I must explain to you next is live mode, because HAL is in live mode whenever it is not in virtual focus mode, apart from one occasion that I can think of. So, for example, if you alt-tab away from Internet Explorer, you will go into live mode. Similarly, if you activate a menu item, such as Alt-F for the file menu or Alt-T for the tools menu, you switch out of auto virtual focus mode into live mode. The other mode you need to contend with is interactive mode. Let's say, for example, you've tabbed to an edit box or a radio button or a checkbox, certainly something that needs to be manipulated by the user. You need to enter interactive mode. In other words, you need to be able to interact with the control on which you're focused. To do that, you press the Enter key. If you press the Enter key at any other stage, in other words, when you're not focused on a control, nothing will happen. Now, this causes a bit of a problem when you come onto links, because if you press Enter on a link, nothing will happen. And that departs from the normal Microsoft operation, because normally, even when a screen reader is not present, if you are focused on a link and you press Enter, the new page will be activated. What you have to do when you're in auto virtual focus mode and you want to activate a link is to press the spacebar. Now, this is a bit of a problem for those of us who are other screen reader users or those who have used previous versions of HAL for Windows, because you've always pressed Enter to activate a link, but you don't, you press the spacebar. The logic behind this is that a sighted person would activate a link by pressing the left mouse button once, in other words, one single left mouse click. Now, the keystroke to do that in the plain virtual focus mode, if you like, is the spacebar. So, it follows that you would press the spacebar in auto virtual focus mode in order to activate a link. There is logic to it, but it does get a little bit confusing, certainly initially, and I haven't quite got out of the habit of pressing Enter on a link yet, because, of course, with other screen readers that I use, that is what you do. Nevertheless, we will use the spacebar to activate links. Here are a few other keystrokes that you might like to use. To move to the first form field on a page, you press left control, left shift and home. To move through successive edit areas or controls on a page, you either press control and page down or control and page up to move backwards. To move through frames on a page, you press left shift, left control and page down or page up. To move directly to the next piece of non-linked text, you press control, shift and right arrow. And conversely, to move up the page to the next piece of non-linked text, you press control, shift, left arrow. Now, these keys are particularly good because you often find that you get quite a lot of links at the top of a web page, and pressing control, shift and right arrow, for example, how is very responsive, and it will take you directly to the piece of text that you really want. To move through successive links on a page, you press control, shift and down arrow, and to move backwards, control, shift, up arrow. Now, as I said last time on InfoTech when I was demonstrating JAWS and Window Eyes, pressing tab and shift and tab does not move you from link to link. It moves you from control to control that can be manipulated by a user. That could be a link, it could be an edit area, it could be a checkbox, for example. What HAL does in this respect is it always takes you to the next or previous link, depending upon which keystroke has been used. What is interesting, in all of these jump to commands, let's say, for example, the control shift down arrow command to move you from link to link, once you get to the bottom of the page, it cycles back round to the top again. So if you're unfamiliar with the links that are on the top of the page, you might think that they're actually at the bottom, when in actual fact they're not. But those are the main keystrokes that you would use in respect of moving to various parts of web pages. How did I know those keystrokes? Well, I actually looked them up on the Dolphin website. And we'll get to this link in a moment. I'll show you where it is. But they're not actually contained within the application notes for Internet Explorer. And that's where you're meant to look if you want specific keystrokes relevant to an application. That's what you're directed to do in the manual. Look in the application notes. It's a bit difficult, actually, to get to the application notes if you're not experienced with HAL or Supernova. And this is what I meant when I said that they help, particularly the shortcut key summary, was not really that intuitive. There's no easy, quick way of getting there. And in addition, I had to do some configuration anyway to get HAL to work as it should with Internet Explorer. So I'm going to take you through that first of all, in case you're experiencing the same difficulty. I found that this particularly came into effect because I'm using Internet Explorer 6, so if you're using that, then you might want to adopt this procedure. If you're finding that it's not actually working correctly, and what seems to happen is that when the web page loads and you start tabbing, you get a couple of links and then it just says down arrow button and bottom. It just doesn't do anything else. That probably means that the Internet Explorer map file is not associated with the version of Internet Explorer that you've got running. So what you have to do is go into the control panel with Internet Explorer running. So you do that with control spacebar.
Live focus HAL control panel window access system setup property sheet.
And you need the access system setup property sheet, and you need to tab a couple of times.
Config settings file management button, imports and exports settings files.
Spacebar.
Settings file management window, map.
Select the map file radio button.
Map file selected radio.
Tab.
Settings file, Internet Explorer 5 and 6v1 cooldown list box.
That is the map file that you actually want, so we'll tab on.
Properties button.
And that's where we need to go. We need to go into the properties.
Map file properties window, name, Internet Explorer 5 and 6 edit area.
And you need to tab.
Version, V1 edit area, applications registered with this detection file, Explorer exe.
Now it's saying that because I actually did associate the explorer.exe file, which is the Internet Explorer application, with this map file earlier on. But it may not say that. So what you have to do is tab on.
Edit rule button. Add application button.
And that's the button you want. Add application.
Select application window. Explorer exe cooldown list box. Explorer exe.
And you get a whole list of applications that you can associate with this map file, and all these applications, of course, reside on your computer, and it's the explorer.exe application that you want. Once you've pressed the up and down arrow keys in order to find explorer.exe, you can just press enter.
Map file properties window, add application button.
And now you can tab.
Remove application, OK button.
To the OK button, enter.
Settings file management win, delete list, export button, import button, update from internet button.
I'm just tabbing.
Close button. How control panel win.
I pressed enter on the close button.
How settings system setup, close button.
And again, I'm going to press enter on the next close button.
Auto virtual focus window, hyper.
And it's saying auto virtual focus window because I'm in the middle of a web page right now. So if you follow that procedure, all should be well. As I say, you may not have to do that. It just depends upon which version of Internet Explorer you're running. And I'm sure in later versions of HAL and Supernova, that little problem will be corrected. Let's explain how to get to the application notes of a map file, because you should be able to look at the keystrokes for an application by activating this feature. I'll press Control and Space, first of all, to bring up the control panel, with the application running, of course.
Live focus HAL control panel in.
Now, I want to be focused on the Access System Setup property sheet, which I am, and I'm going to tab twice again.
Config Settings File Management button.
That's what I want. Spacebar.
Settings File Management.
Select the Map File Radio button.
Map File Selected Radio.
With a down arrow. And I'll press tab.
Settings file. Internet Explorer 5 and 6v1 cooldown.
And again.
Properties button.
And that's what I want. Properties.
Map file properties window.
So I pressed enter on there. And now I need to shift and tab.
View application notes button.
And that's what you want. View application notes. And I'll press the spacebar.
Application notes window. OK button.
You're focused on the OK button. You need to tab.
Blank line read only scrollable edit.
We're now in a read-only edit box, and this is where the author of the map file will put his application notes. These could be HAL Supernova or HAL interacts with this application. It could be the shortcut keys, hopefully it will be. In this case, it actually isn't. What it does is it refers you to the default application file for keystrokes. And when you actually go to the default application file to get the keystrokes, you find that there aren't any there. So this is why I said I had to go to the Dolphin website in order to get the keystrokes that I told you earlier on. Now hopefully that will be corrected at a later date. I'll just escape several times to get out of here.
Map settings file HAL control auto virtual focus window hypertext.
And I'm back in the contents of a web page. Let's do a little bit of interacting then with HAL and the internet. I'll press Control O to bring up the open dialog box.
Live focus open window. Type the internet address on a document or folder, and Internet Explorer will open it for you.
And it said live focus, which is what we would expect. So I'm going to type in
open, double open, period, O-L-A-R-N-U-K.
I've typed in www.dolphinuk.co.uk and enter.
Auto-scrollable frame, skip navigation menu.
Now, what sometimes happens is when you load a new web page, particularly if you've activated a new page from a link, you will find that the virtual focus cursor, for want of a better expression, will actually be some way down the page. There seems to be no consistency about this at all, as to where the virtual focus cursor will be placed. And I'm not quite sure what determines that, but what you do have to do is press Control and Home to move to the top of the page. That's what I'd recommend.
Top.
And now we can start tabbing through the links.
Dolphin Computer Access Limited link, news link.
And that's the link I want, news link. And you'll notice that HAL is saying link after the content of the link itself.
About Dolphin link, products link, prices link, purchase link.
If I arrow down through the contents of the page.
Link, download. Link, case studies.
It's saying link beforehand, which is interesting, but it doesn't really matter. You're getting the information that you want. So I'm going to shift tab back here to the news link.
Download support, purchase link, prices link, products link, about Dolphin news link.
And press spacebar to activate it.
The Dolphin computer access news.
And there we are. The
scrollable frame, news link.
Now, the page has been downloaded, that's absolutely fine. In order to check that, I can press numeric keypad 2, because that's the read status bar key.
Text, http, www.dolphin.co.uk news index, htm internet.
I'm getting the URL for the link. That's absolutely fine. And it said news, which would indicate to me that that's what we're on. I'm going to press Control Home to go to the top of the page, and I'm going to arrow down here.
Link, Dolphin Computer Access Limited. Link, news. Link about Dolphin.
Now, again, we've got similar links at the top of the page, and we want to get to the main content. So I'm going to press Control Shift Right Arrow, which will take me to the first piece of non-linked text.
Dolphin Computer Access News.
And that's exactly what we want. I'm going to down arrow.
The latest news. November 2001. Link. December 2001 news.
And that's the link I want. December 2001 news. And I'll press the space bar. Right. We haven't actually got any feedback at the moment. So I'm going to press numeric keypad 2.
Text. Done internet.
Which reads the status bar, of course, and it says done, so we take it that the page is there. I'll press Control Home.
Link, skip navigation menu.
And Control Shift Right Arrow.
Dolphin News, December 2001. Index. Link, version 5 now shipping. Link, Supernova V5 on the internet. Link, V5 demo copies available.
I happen to know that these are same page links. In other words, they won't take you to a different page, because the news is all on one page, actually. But what it does, for example, Supernova on the internet, it should take you further down the page. So what will be interesting to find out is how Supernova, or HAL, gets on with that, with the same page link. Because what we've had so far are links which take you to different pages.
Link, V5 demo copies available. Link, Supernova V5 on the internet.
I've pressed the up arrow back to that, and I'll press the space bar. And I assume we're there, so I'm going to press document read, numeric keypad plus.
Supernova V5 on the internet, V5 demo copies available, new system specifications, Office XP Christmas wishes version 5 now shipping. Patience. For those who have already received their upgrade or who are road testing the demo version, you might like to try your internet update button for the first time. We have uploaded a minor change to the MS Word 2, text 2000.
And I've stopped the document read. The fact is, it didn't take us there, for some reason. But you'll have to experiment with that to see whether that's going to work on the page for you. But it should have taken us to further down the page so that we could have actually explored the information about HAL on the internet. What you'll have to do is just arrow down a little bit further. Or you could use the Find facility. Now, you can press F3 when you're in Virtual Focus mode or Auto Virtual Focus. And you'll get an edit box.
Find.
And we can type in here internet.
I-N-T-E-R-N-E-T.
And press enter.
Link, Supernova V5 on the internet.
And we're still not in the right place, so I can press F4 to move to the next occurrence of the word internet, or I can press F2 to go back.
Internet update button for the first time. We have uploaded a minor change to the MS Word 2000 map, ensuring the correct.
Okay, and it's reading out the current line. Just to give you some context, that's really nice. I'll press F4 again.
Useful while surfing the internet.
Okay, so we've actually got to the right place. And if you were to scroll down the page with the down arrow key, or to use document read from this point, you would get a whole list of keystrokes, which I've just read out, actually. By using the key combinations Control Shift Right Arrow and Control Shift Left Arrow to move to the next non-linked piece of text on a page, that indicates to me that Supernova and HAL will never have the ability to be able to select text on a web page and to be able to copy it to the clipboard, which is a bit of a shame, really, because that's quite a useful feature if you want to just clip something out of a web page and paste it into a document. That seems to be the way it's heading. What you should have been able to see by now is that HAL is providing much better access to web pages than it did before. It's got all these very useful keystrokes, and they enable you to go to specific parts of a web page very quickly indeed. I'm now going to go to another site with Control O.
Live Focus Open Window.
And type www.comet.co.uk. And press Enter.
Auto Virtual Auto Downloading Frame. Washing Machines.
And again, we're in the middle of the page, so I'll Control Home.
Top, Frame, Home, Contact Us, Comet Services.
And, Tab.
Home Link, Contact Us Link, Comet Services Link, Our Price Guarantee Link, Find a Store Link, View Order Link, Search Link, Help Link, Washing Machines Link, Fridge Freezers Link, Widescreens Link, Web Specials Link, Clearance option link.
I want the search link. We can use the Dolphin Link Navigator. This is attached to Internet Explorer. It's a separate utility, not quite embedded into HAL as such, or Supernova. To activate it, we press Alt-T within Internet Explorer, because that brings up the Tools menu, and that's where you'll find the Dolphin Link Navigator.
Or Live Focus Tools menu, Mail and News and Submenu.
And now we press T for the Link Navigator.
Autolet, Dolphin Links Navigator, Microsoft Internet Explorer, links for Comet, CEOnet, Web App Commerce, Command Category Display.
Now I should be able to arrow down.
Fridges, Freezers, Web App Commerce, Command Category Display. Cookers, Microwaves, Web App Commerce, Command Category Display. Laundry Ironing, Web App Commerce, Command Category Display.
What's actually happened here is that we now have a vertical list of links. And this is a feature included in some other screen readers. But we're able to arrow up and down the list of links if we want to. And what we're hearing first is the title of the link, and then we're hearing part of the URL.
Dishwashers, Web App Commerce, Command Category Display. Small Kitchen Products, Web App Commerce, Command Category Display. Vacuum Cleaners, Web App Commerce, Command Category Display.
There are several ways you can actually view this list of links. You can either view them in the order in which they appear on the web page, which is what we're doing at the moment, which is the default setting. Or you can tab to a series of radio buttons to have them displayed, for example, in alphabetical order, in ascending or descending alphabetical order. So if I tab...
Links for Comet, CEOnet, Web App Commerce, Command Category Display, Fridges, Freezers, Web App Commerce, Command Category Display, Cookers, Microwaves, Web App Commerce.
Okay, we'll press numeric keypad 6 to see what radio button we're actually focused on.
Tab order selected radio.
We've actually got the series of radio buttons, but even if you arrow up and down these radio buttons, HAL does not announce what the selected radio button actually is. Now, I can tell you it's in tab order, as it's called at the moment. In other words, the order that the links appear on the page. But it doesn't say that. So what you have to do is, I found, press numeric keypad 6. That's read line.
Tab order, unselected radio, but a Z, selected radio, Z to A, unselected radio, recently visited, unselected radio.
Now I'm going to arrow down.
Vacuum cleaners, Web App Commerce, Command Category Display.
And we're not actually getting anything sensible, so I'll press numeric keypad 6 again.
Tab order, unselected radio, but a Z, selected radio, Z to A.
And we can now tell that the A to Z radio button is selected. What else do we have? If we're down arrow.
Vacuum cleaners, Web App.
Numeric keypad 6.
Tab order, unselected radio, but a Z, unselected radio, Z to A, selected radio.
Okay, and now Z to A is selected.
Vacuum, tab order, unselected radio, but a Z, unselected radio, Z to A, unselected radio, recently visited, selected radio.
We have recently visited as well. That's the next radio button. Right, I've actually switched back now so that the read links in tab order radio button is selected. To be honest, this links navigator is a complete nightmare. It doesn't work properly, particularly when there are frames on the web page, and this Comet page has 3 frames on it. And it's a bit of a problem. But I've just, for the sake of demonstrating it, gone to my own home page, which has 9 links on the page itself, and I'm going to bring up the Dolphin Link Navigator again with Alt-T-T.
Live Focus to Dolphin Link Navigator, Autolet, Live Window, Live Focus, Dolphin Links for Brian, please email me, Mailto.
Right, now I'm going to browse through the links.
Please email me, Mailto, Brian@Janorg.
So it's doing a better job this time of reading out the URLs, because it said mail to brian@hartshorn.org, because that is a send mail link. But it doesn't seem, for whatever reason, to read out the contents of the link properly. The first letter seems to screw the whole thing up.
Find out what computer training can do for you. Training HTML.
That should be find out what computer training can do for you.
I learn about the next edition of Infotech magazine. Infotech December HTML. I read about the Infotech audio magazine, Infotech HTML. I learn more about my computer-related audio tutorials, Startup HTML. I read comments from other visually impaired people about my projects. Comments HTML, see and contact me direct. Contact HTML.
If you wanted to activate one of these links, you could just press enter on it and you would get to the link in question. I'm going to escape out of it.
Auto virtual focus win.
And I'm back to the auto virtual focus item. I'm now focused on the search link in the Dolphin Link Navigator, so I'm going to press Enter to activate it. I'm back to the comment site, of course. And again, I think the page has been downloaded. Let's check it with numeric keypad 2.
Text, HTTP, www.comet.co.uk/web.comet/macro/comet/search/d2w-report-internet.
Okay, I take it that's it. So we'll control and home.
Frame, comet.
And it says frame, comet. Now, I want to get to the first edit area on the page because I want to search for something. So I'm going to press control, shift, home.
Edit frame, keyword. Blank line edit area.
I've immediately gone into interactive mode, because that's what that control does, control shift home. It takes you to the first item on the page, it takes you to the first control on a page, and that in this case is an edit area, and you're able to type in what it is that you want. Well, I'm going to type in PlayStation.
PlayStation.
And I'm going to tab.
Auto virtual focus, grand. Cool down edit area.
Now, interestingly, it takes you back to auto virtual focus mode again. And I think this is a really good feature because you can immediately start browsing again with the arrow keys. So we can just arrow up a bit here if we want to check our text is correct.
Or PlayStation edit area.
And we've got PlayStation in the edit area. And we can do that because we're back in auto virtual focus. Let's just arrow down a bit here.
Or complete. Grand. Cool down edit area.
Okay, we're in a combo box, actually, of brands. And I'm going to interact with that by going into interactive mode with Enter.
In brand, cool down edit area.
I'm going to be safe and press Alt down arrow to open the combo box.
Live focus scrollable drop down.
And down arrow.
The LL, 3Com, the Claim, the DDUP, Advanced Computer Furniture, AG.
And I've got all the brand names here, so I'm going to press S.
S-E-N, S-A-G-M, S-A-Tech. Samsung, SFS, and Inola, S3Beach, SEGA, SNASA, S-Service, S-Harp, S-Siemens.
And you'll notice that it's saying S-Harp, which is meant to be sharp, actually. Again, it's not doing too well with the pronunciation.
S-Kai, S-Sony.
That's what I want, S-Sony, which is actually Sony. So I'm going to tab on.
Auto virtual focus window, hypertext, frame, comet, button.
And that's a button. And this is one of the problems with HAL. It doesn't attempt with links and buttons that don't have any appropriate text on them to make sense of it. It will not read out the URL, which would be activated once you press this button or activate a particular link. It doesn't seem to do that, which makes it very difficult on some web pages to be able to do shopping successfully, because some shopping site authors are not particularly good at putting text on the links sometimes. But anyway, logic would assume that this will be a submit button, so I'm going to press a spacebar on it to activate it. And again, we'll have to check whether we've got a page.
Text, done internet.
Yes, that's okay. So we'll go to the top of the page.
Frame, comet.
Now, normally what I should be able to do is to press Control and Tab twice, and that will take me straight to the results frame. Now, I can't do that, actually, because for some reason, Control-Tab doesn't actually work in the Auto Virtual Focus mode, despite it being a Microsoft shortcut key for moving between frames. So we have a choice. We can either press Control, Shift, and Page down to move through the frames, or we can just skip past the repeated links, which might be a good idea. But I'm going to try Control-Shift-Page down.
Frame, home, contact us, comet services.
And again.
Scrollable frame, search results, two products match to your search criteria.
Okay, that's fine. So I'm going to arrow down through the products.
Search results, two products match to your search criteria. Link, Sony PS2. PlayStation 2 console. Red Star 193.46.
Okay, that's how much it's going to cost me, £193. So if I wanted to activate that link, I could. I think that's all I'm going to mention about browsing web pages with Internet Explorer and Supernova and HAL. The only thing I will say is that I found when I'm navigating some tables on web pages, HAL does advise me that there is a table on the page, and it does that by saying cell when you're arrowing down the contents of the page. So, for example, on the National Library for the Blind's website, when you're carrying out a search on the online catalogue, that information is presented in a table. So when you're arrowing down, it will say cell author, cell title, for example. That's of no real value, really, anyway, because you've got no keystrokes for navigating effectively through the table, so you're actually reading it in a very linear manner anyway. You're arrowing down the page, and sometimes, particularly on some websites where there are train timetables or sports results, for example, you could actually get lost anyway. You do need table navigation keystrokes in order to browse that effectively. Well, that's all we have time for at the moment. Don't forget to contact me if you would like to hear the entire presentation. I'd also like to say that I have now purchased HAL Professional. I received my copy 2 days ago at the time of recording, and I am creating map files with it. I've got quite a lot to say about that, and because of the technical nature of that item, it's best discussed at another time on main menu, if that's okay. If you'd like to find out more about Dolphin products, you can call Dolphin Computer Access on 01905 754 577. If you're calling from outside the UK, that will be 44 1905 754 577. You can easily visit the website as well, which is at www.dolphinuk.co.uk. From me, Brian Hartgen, bye for now, and I look forward to speaking to you again on a future edition of Main Menu.
Programming on ACB Radio is made possible in part through financial support from the Verizon Corporation. Verizon, a proud supporter of ACB Radio.